You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is good? It's your boy, Sosa Cremenges, fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus, and your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Locked On Rams podcast. We're really starting to close in here with the first slate of Sunday games creeping up on us really quickly. And I read a tweet actually today that said, you're only one sleep away from football, from NFL football being back on our TVs. And that got me real excited. And, we're going to kick off this week on Thursday night with what looks to be quite an incredible matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans. We're all Rams aficionados here, and so that's what you're here for. And obviously, the Rams are going to open up on Sunday Night Football in Week 1 at the Grand SoFi Stadium against the Dallas Cowboys, and it's going to be quite the spectacle, I think. And there really isn't a better way to open up Week 1 than at home in an incredible stadium like that against two fantastic offenses, but. I'm joined by former host Brad Motter on today's episode, and we're going to really just discuss, the roster transactions that, the Rams went through over the past weekend. We're going to talk about if any guys caught our eyes. We're going to talk about the unofficial 53-man depth chart that the Rams just released last night. And we're even going to share our predictions for that week one contest between the Rams and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. So we're just going to get right into it. Like I mentioned, to start out this episode, we're going to jump right into the roster cuts and, whether or not anybody caught our eyes, whether that meant a player that was cut or players that were cut or even players that made the roster and just, appeared to be surprises in terms of maybe we're not expected to make the roster. And so, we briefly discussed this earlier this week, and there was some interesting names in terms of the players who got cut, and more so for me, just at positions of need, I guess. And that, to me, a few guys that stood out were, linebacker Nitrez Patrick, who was an undrafted free agent with the team from 2019. I really thought that, this is a guy who might actually start at inside linebacker. I didn't really expect him to get cut. But, the Rams elected to go that route. Seventh round pick, inside linebacker Clay Johnston. Again, similar to Patrick, I thought, this guy might actually find himself in a starting spot as opposed to, not being on the roster. And long story short, Johnston ended up, not clearing waivers and joining the Carolina Panthers, where his dad is employed, I believe, as a strength and conditioning coach. So the Rams essentially got Dakota Allen for the second time in two off seasons with their seventh round linebacker. And then the two other names that kind of caught my eye were cornerback Dante Dion and, a guy who was featured really on Hard Knocks this season. But he's more than that. And he's a great player, in my opinion. He's a great player. But, it appeared to be just kind of a numbers game for Dion because the Rams really have a lot of talent at the across the secondary and in particular at that cornerback position. And so that felt like that was just more of a numbers game. And, Dion did revert to the Rams' practice squad, so he's still with the team. And then lastly, for me, Bryce Perkins was interesting because I'm not necessarily shocked that the undrafted free agent quarterback out of Virginia isn't sticking on the 53-man roster, but I did anticipate that the Rams were going to carry three quarterbacks on the roster. Though, Perkins, again, like Dion and Patrick, did revert to the Rams' practice squad, and so he's still with the team, technically just not on the official roster. But yeah, I thought, with the whole COVID related thing that, it might be wise to carry three quarterbacks, but, luckily for the Rams, Perkins makes his way back and, they don't have to worry too much about that. Now, were there any names in particular, that were interesting to you, whether they actually made the roster or whether they were cut?
Yeah, there's a couple, you named a couple really good ones, right? I mean, Dante Dion and Clay Johnston and I think it was Jordan Rodriguez of The Athletic basically said, like, if you were featured on Hard Knocks, it wasn't a good year for you this year. You didn't want to be featured, really. And she kind of made a mention that some of those players were avoiding some of those cameras, maybe for that reason. But it was shocking because if you look at that cornerback room for Dante Dion, I believe they only kept four cornerbacks. You talked about the depth. It's there, but it's also, you know, a lot more with the safeties. You know, they kept, five safeties overall. So they decided to go with an extra safety instead of an extra cornerback. So maybe Nick Scott's versatility on special teams as well kind of made him get that edge there. It is interesting as well, because when you're thinking about the practice squad, I think it's up to 16 guys potentially now, 15, 16, something like that. And then four of them are kind of listed as untouchable to basically steal from. So the Rams haven't released. I saw some lists from some of the other teams on who they've listed there. You know, but you mentioned carrying three quarterbacks. Maybe that was part of the reason of throwing one on the practice squad. And we'll see when that comes out. Maybe that's who one of the Rams are going to protect there to kind of, just in case, you never know with the COVID stuff and injury stuff. So that was a little surprising for me as well. And then you talked about Clay Johnson. Like, it's surprising, one, for the linebackers that we just don't have a lot of depth there, that they didn't decide to keep an extra linebacker that they spent a draft pick on, right? Like, that was the other shocking thing, is they made a trade in the draft to pick up another seventh, what they used, I believe, on him, or Sam Sloman. But that's kind of what you got the indication when you heard those leaks come out. Oh, Sam Sloman is going to be the kicker, which kind of shocked me. I'm sure it shocked you a little bit too, when all indications seemed like Hailarahu had a little bit more of the edge as far as straight kicking as well as experience. But then that thought, it gave me indication, okay, they're going to keep their draft picks. And that wasn't the case. They went, as you mentioned, the Dakota Allen, maybe we can keep him around. Again, hopefully that doesn't come back to bite us in the butt, but just really the depth of the linebackers, that was surprising for me. And then I guess on the offense side of the ball, is we were complaining about lack of depth for the offensive line last year, but is the answer keeping 10 guys? I don't think so. I think last year we had 8, I could be wrong. But the kind of the surprise of bringing Brian Allen back, which I understand you probably want a backup center. Maybe that's why he got it. But I haven't been very impressed with Brian Allen since he's gotten here. But again, that's a draft pick that they spent, you know, middle round on. They didn't want to give up on yet. But then Coleman Shelton, I think he's done a lot of great things. But is he a guy that I thought deserved to be on this roster over a guy like Natriz Patrick, who would have really helped that linebacker room out, or Clay Johnson, who they spent a draft pick this year? I think that's a little up in the air for me there. So that was a little curious on that route. And then the indication of keeping four tight ends really shows you that they are looking to work in some more 12 personnel. If you're getting four tight ends, there's got to be an indication somewhere that means something, right? We know Johnny Munt is a great blocker, not so much in the pass catching, but that's really what Bryson Hopkins does well and Gerald Everett does well. So maybe you got two of your blockers, with Tyler Higbee being able to do a little bit of both, and hopefully Gerald Everett getting better at a little bit of both. But that was another indication of what we might see to come with having four tight ends. And that was good also, if we're talking about draft picks, Ankrum Jr. to make the roster kind of felt good, because I think that's going to go a long way in his development, you know, being right there with Andrew Whitworth and the rest of the gang. So some positive in those 10 linemen, but a couple questions for me as well.
I love that you brought that up. You reminded me, because that is something I mentioned earlier in this week, was that the four tight ends that they kept probably does indicate a lot more 12 personnel is coming. And as well, like you mentioned, Samuel Sloman winning that kicker job was, I mean, for me, probably the biggest shocker, to be quite honest. From the reports that we got, like you said, it sounded like Hailarahu was really like separating himself from the kicking options. But you know, the Rams elected to go with the young guy, and potentially that played a role. You know, you're comparing one player who's 29 years old in Hailarahu, and then a guy like Sloman, who I'm not entirely sure, but he might be 21 or 22. And so, you know, that difference in age gap might have been the difference for the Rams. And you know, it sounded like Sloman really started to get more consistent and just get his feet under him, so to speak, over the past week in training camp. And so, finishing strong won't hurt, obviously, but definitely was a surprise to me. I definitely anticipated Hailarahu to nab that spot, but you know, the Rams elected to go with the rookie kicker, which they drafted. Coming up in just a moment, Brad and I are going to discuss the Rams' unofficial 53-man roster, which they released just last night. And while we've got you, come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QBsMEP. You can find Brad at LA_RamblingBear, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every game with full game replays. and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game, every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. In the last segment, I teased the unofficial depth chart that the Rams recently released, and me and Brad are really just going to deep dive into it. Now, as I mentioned, it is the unofficial depth chart, so this isn't something that's, you know, entirely set in stone. And in addition to that, just looking at it really and kind of analyzing it, you get the feel that, you know, it's more of like we're putting this out because we have to put it out sort of feel to it, as opposed to this is what's happening. And you can tell, you know, with just the veteran seniority approach really that the team has taken in terms of how they've listed their players. And so some of the interesting names and positions at that depth chart is obviously running back first and foremost. The Rams actually have Malcolm Brown listed as the first team running back, with Darrell Henderson listed as the second team running back, and rookie Cam Akers as the third team running back. Now, you know, that would be just absolutely shocking. Yeah, that would be just shocking if, you know, it worked out that way, but that's notable. The receiver spot, you know, they got Josh Reynolds at wide receiver 3 and then Van Jefferson slotting in at wide receiver 4. You know, and we've heard from certain people, even like Jordan Rodrigue, that Van Jefferson might actually have hopped Reynolds in the pecking order when it comes to receiver. And, you know, they're not going to necessarily do the same things, but that could ultimately mean a lot for their playing time and snaps moving forward. And then flipping it to the other side of the ball, the thing that caught my eye was Troy Reader actually being listed as a starter at inside linebacker over who we thought was going to start in Kenny Young. And that was quite interesting to me because I don't think that Reader proved anything really in 2019. And I, you know, would be shocked if he does start over Kenny Young. And even a guy like Justin Hollins, yeah, he's not going to start right out of the gate. The Rams just claimed him off the waiver wire, obviously, from Denver. But, you know, when we're talking midseason, I wouldn't be surprised to see a guy like Justin Hollins creep up at that inside linebacker spot. And lastly, the special teams, the two things that caught my eye there, the Rams listed Darrell Henderson as the starting kicker turner and Nsimba Webster as the starting punter turner. And neither of these guys are surprising here, as we've seen them in these roles in the past. What do you think, Brad, of the depth chart in general? Or did anything catch your eye? Was there anything interesting? And how do you expect these like interesting positions and names to kind of shake out moving forward?
Yeah, I think a lot's going to shake out, because I think you made a good point. Like, this is literally like a Rams, we had to do this list, right? And like, and it shows right away with Malcolm Brown being the number one. And maybe you could argue that that could be the case, but then seeing Darrell Henderson, especially where he's at with his injury, to be number two and Cam Akers 3, it just doesn't make sense in what we kind of expect to see, what we've heard from camp. So you almost expect that to be completely backwards. Maybe Jones stays in that fourth spot, but Cam Akers is first, Darrell Henderson and Malcolm Brown is kind of the way we've looked at it. But again, McVay keeps everything really close to the vest. So it could be Cam Akers, then Malcolm Brown, then Darrell Henderson, and try to ease him in with that injury, which he said he's ready to go. Another thing that's interesting about this roster is just kind of seeing some stuff that's going around Twitter is the Rams are still about $400,000 over the cap right now, and they've got to get under the cap by 4 p.m. tomorrow. So we may see some other moves still happening here, moving a guy up from the practice squad and cutting a guy on the roster. I don't know. I don't know if you just, if this is a contract thing in the background that they can do. That will free up some money. Maybe Jalen Ramsey signing could help free up some money in a weird way. But that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on. I think as you go back to the depth chart, like, it all kind of feels about right on the offensive side. Like you mentioned about Van Jefferson, I think he's going to have to prove it on the field to take that third spot. I think he's going to get some really good opportunities early on. But I still think that is a fair shake to say Josh Reynolds should get first crack at that. The other interesting thing going on the defense side of the ball is looking at, you mentioned Troy Reader. We said that this is seniority that gets these spots right away that you think that they built this on, which is sad to think. Troy Reader has the most NFL linebacker experience out of that whole group, which shocks me, at least when it comes to middle linebackers. So maybe he is the guy. I'd love to see Kenny Young or Justin Hollins once he gets his feet here, which hopefully shouldn't take too long. Obviously, we all know by now the connection that he has, you know, going back with Staley in Denver. So maybe he sneaks into there with Micah Kizer, and we're really, really banking on Micah Kizer to be as good as we hope he can be. Everything we've mentally built him up, because right now it's like, all right, we've got one solid linebacker in the middle, and then who else is going to join him there? And it could be the very opposite, right? Micah Kizer might struggle, and Kenny Young or Justin Hollins might step in, or Troy Reader, you know, grew up over the offseason. He's had a couple really good games with the Rams, and I want to give him that because I know he led the team in tackles, I think, three times last year. Doesn't mean he's grading out awesome in PFF. I think I saw your tweet where it basically said you're shocked that he's on any roster in the NFL, let alone a starting one. So, yeah, that definitely is shocking to me. And then the other thing to watch, and I think we talked about this, our hype of Darius Williams so much, is Troy Hill actually the counterpart to Jalen Ramsey? Will Darius Williams jump him in that category? You know, seeing a lot of pictures going around of Darius Williams and Jalen Ramsey together and showing like that duo, like as if maybe that's the direction. And is Troy Hill slide into maybe that nickel or kind of a rotating in type of guy, depending on that defense, to kind of help support those linebackers? So a couple interesting things. And I guess I go back, I want to shout out to Kai Polite because I'm just stoked to see he made the roster, worked really hard. I know he's got some questions about him, but he worked his tail off. He sat on the practice squad last year, didn't complain a bit, at least that we know of, right? And came out here, worked his tail off, and made this roster. So I'm excited about him and Obo as well to kind of get that opportunity. And then, yeah, going to the special teams, like, is Daryl Henderson really going to be the kick returner? No. Like, with his ankle injury right now, there's no way they put him back there to return kicks. Maybe I'm wrong, but I wouldn't if I was a coach and I'm looking long-term. I love Nisimba Webster. Proud of him that he made the roster. Not only is a special teamer, but I think even being able to have a chance with the limited amount of wide receivers to contribute there as well. So maybe he takes on both those duties, or I cannot remember his name, but the Rams picked up that running back that they're excited about, versatility. Maybe they look to work him on the roster.
Raymond Calais. Yep.
So maybe they try to work him on the roster. Maybe that's where you're saving that money. They got to cut someone else to move him up, and, you know, or at least put him on the practice squad and protect him as one of those four protected players. But obviously they found something in him that they liked him. They wanted to target him in the late rounds of the draft, but we'll see. I mean, I'm liking it, but there's definitely some glaring holes and some things that get you a little nervous. And the depth chart isn't really real on this. You know, like you said, the Rams kind of are just like, all right, we got to put this up. Let's just put this up and give it seniority. And it's like high school football. This is kind of how it came out when you were a senior. You had the opportunity day one to kind of own that spot. And if a guy younger than you beat you out, at some point your name's getting moved down the list.
I think you brought up some really interesting points there. And probably the most interesting one of them all for me was the Darius Williams, Troy Hill discussion. Yeah, there seems to have been, you know, some sort of thoughts traveling around about whether Darius Williams might have jumped into that cornerback two role and kind of pushed Troy Hill down to the cornerback three role, if not something else. But, you know, it appears that probably Troy Hill is still going to factor in as that second boundary corner. And Darius Williams is probably the best nickel corner on the team. And so it wouldn't surprise me to kind of just see that come to, you know, be the rotation at the cornerback spot. And then, like you mentioned, you know, the inside linebacker thing is still a big question mark, but they did elect to keep five safeties. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that's not so much a formality as opposed to a plan with, you know, just rotating more safeties onto the field in favor of linebackers when, you know, it's more related to being on a passing down, or it might be garbage time situations where teams are looking to throw the ball often, and just situations like that where, you know, it makes much more sense to have guys who are better in pass coverage, and obviously they're more proven, are the safeties than are the linebackers.
And really quick on that, because I remember an interview series that happened once Brandon Staley was hired here and J.B. Long sat down with him, had these long, like, hour interview sessions. And he was talking about his defense with the Bears. And he said, if you go back and look at it, like, they ran five DBs on the field almost like 80% of that time when he was in Chicago, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever that was. So looking at his roster, if he tries to imitate a little bit of what he had when he first got Khalil Mack and said, hey, we're just going to rush the heck out of you guys, bring some pressure with some of our big, long edge guys, as well as just loading up a bunch of guys in that secondary. And if we've got, if that's a strength of us, I totally get why maybe they're not as deep at linebacker, and that we will see, you know, maybe 75% or more of five DBs on the field. And that's something that he's going to say, almost like, you know, you look at the Rockets in a basketball version, and I think LeBron James even referenced them as the greatest show on turf and saying, like, hey, it's tough to keep up that speed, but that's what they go for. They walk into the game knowing we're going to be undersized, we're going to be faster, we're going to have to make threes. And maybe the Rams come into this game going, we're going to go a bunch of DBs in the back, and we got Aaron Donald up the middle, and we're going to – so maybe you're going to run a little bit more on us, but at a certain point when you got to start throwing the ball, we're going to make it really tough, and you lean into that instead of mixing it up. But only time will tell, but I'm not mad at it at this point. I still think, like you said, linebacker – it would be nice to add some value, or at least those guys that are there show that they're worthy of those spots to kind of make us feel comfortable. But we've got an awesome game coming up on Sunday. I know that's for sure.
For sure. I love that you brought up that comparison too. And it makes sense, particularly when A'shaun Robinson is back and healthy. You know, the Rams are going to have three very like strong players on that defensive line, and two that are just incredibly stout against the run in Robinson and Michael Brockers. And that can allow you to maybe decrease some size in hopes of having more speed and having more range at that linebacker slash safety position. You know, that might be what the Rams are trying to emulate. Now, unfortunately, Robinson's not going to play. At least it doesn't sound like anytime soon. But, you know, that sounds like a plan that might be the Rams' plan, to be honest, moving forward. And it would probably make a lot of sense with how much depth they have at that safety position. Coming up when we return, Brad and I are going to share our predictions for the Sunday night contest with the Rams facing off against the Dallas Cowboys. Make sure to check back with us on Thursday for our first crossover episode of the 2020 NFL season. I had Locked On Cowboys host Landon McCool on to discuss how the teams match up and what might happen on Sunday night football. The fitness industry is incredibly confusing and oversaturated with BS. I'd like to think my word holds a lot of weight, as I've lost 150 pounds over the last 20 months. With that being the case, I've been on the lookout for the perfect protein bar and have finally stumbled upon one called the Built Bar. You need to check them out. They're absolutely delicious and offer 18 different flavors. The bars are also healthy, they're low in calories, they're low in sugar, they've got 19 grams of protein per bar, they're high in fiber, and they even work for those on the keto diet. You even get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off all orders. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Welcome back to our last segment of today's episode, folks. So in the last segment, I teased that Brad and I were going to share our predictions for this week one showdown between the Los Angeles Rams and the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football to open up at SoFi Stadium. Without further ado, I guess we may as well just jump right into them, and we can even talk about, you know, why we may think that these predictions may come true. So for me, you know, I look at these two teams and I look at them relatively similarly in terms of I see two offenses that have the potential to be incredibly dangerous and high scoring and high powered and very just potent in general in 2020 as run offenses. I feel like the Cowboys might have a slight edge, at least against the Rams' run offense, though I do think the Rams have a lot of potential in that area. And then I look at the two passing offenses, and I just see two outstanding passing offenses. I mean, you could absolutely talk me into believing that these two teams are two of the top three passing offenses in football in 2020. And, you know, you don't need to look much further than the passing game weapons for the Cowboys and Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb. And then the same story for the Rams with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson and Josh Reynolds and Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett. And really the names just never end. And so I see two incredible offenses and I see two defenses with some question marks. And so for the Rams, You know, I look at that inside linebacker position, as Brad and I mentioned in this episode. That edge rusher position is a bit of a question mark in terms of, you know, Leonard Floyd is going to be a starter at one spot, but, you know, he's never really proven to be a dangerous pass rusher in the NFL. And then opposite of him, do the Rams feel comfortable starting a guy like Samson Ebukam? And how long is it until we see a rookie with a lot of potential in a guy like Terrell Lewis? And so, you know, Terrell Lewis is going to miss that first contest, as will A'shaun Robinson. And then, you know, the Cowboys, their defense on the other side, I mean, they have a lot of question marks at the secondary position where the Rams are strong. And so they have, you know, what looks like it's going to be a new starting corner on the boundary. They got some questions at nickelback in terms of who's going to start there. And again, they have a second safety spot next to Xavier Woods that we don't really know too much about in terms of who's going to start there. And they just released veteran HaHa Clinton Dix a few days ago. And so, you know, there's, like I said, a question mark there. And I think that's going to lead me to believe that this is going to be quite a high scoring affair, even with, you know, the lack of chemistry potentially from no preseason games and everything like that. I think that may affect other teams in the NFL more than it does these two in this game. And for me, I'm going to have to unfortunately pick the Cowboys. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think it might come down to a late game special teams kick by a guy that we might know in Greg Zuerlein. And so I just wouldn't be shocked to see Greg Zuerlein kick a game-winning field goal, and I wouldn't be shocked to see Coach Bones pull something crazy out of his hat in this one. So I'm going to go with 34-31 Cowboys, but, you know, I mean, I just wouldn't be shocked with really any high-scoring affair between these two teams. How do you have a scoring, Brad, and just kind of rip through what you think, you know, might happen and or why?
Oh, man. I mean... Hey, I could see it going that way too, for sure. And and you got to be careful with Bones. Like, as the Rams staff, you have to understand who this guy was when he was here. Hopefully Sean McVay, those guys will be talking about it and be on their toes. They don't really have a Johnny Hecker that can throw the ball probably as well from that punting position. But you're right. Got to be always aware, especially week one when everyone's just kind of, I don't want to say in the motions, but maybe you get a little comfortable and just trying to make sure you're doing what you've been practicing the whole time, and you haven't maybe even practicing fake punts as much as you have been covering punts, excuse me. But yeah, that's a good point to keep an eye out for that for sure. I think really I envision Dak struggling out of the gate against the secondary. I think we're, like we talked about, that's the depth of what we do. And going back to his last matchup versus us, he wasn't needed much. Keep in mind, it was a 44-21 beatdown that I think you talked about earlier in the week, but he was 15-23, 200 something yards. He had two touchdowns, but the touchdowns were to Tavon Austin, where I think we all forgot he was on the field when you look at that playback. And then the other one was to Jason Witten on like a little dump off. So Witten's not there. Austin's on IR somewhere else. And so Cooper, one catch, 19 yards. I think that kind of shows you what Jalen can do to a big time wide receiver. But they've got some more talent there that's going to kind of make it tough for the Rams. But we've got some good matchups, so I like that early. My problem is, once they realize maybe out of the gate that Dak isn't making the headway, they'll go back and realize, oh yeah, we rushed for 263 yards last time. Let's just start handing the ball off. So they're going to pound the rock with Zeke. And that's where we got to figure out quickly if we can minimize that and get off the field a couple times. Because if they have those long sustaining drives, I think it's really going to put a lot of pressure on our defense, and it gets tougher to defend in the secondary as they're moving the chains. So that's going to be a big thing for the Rams. Like, I think early out of the gate, Dak struggles, but then if they get the running game open back up, it really makes things a lot easier for Dak. So that's going to be the big thing for the Rams, is when they make that first big push on the ground, if the Rams can, you know, maybe look like the Rams in the playoffs versus the Cowboys, where they really held Zeke to not a whole lot, under 100 yards. That is the way we're going to win this game. Also, I look for the Rams to pound the rock at the beginning, but I also have this feeling that Sean McVay is quickly going to say, well, I don't know everyone that I have in the running back room, so I'm just going to go back to that five wide, start throwing the ball. I actually see Goff having 35 to 40 attempts in this game, not by plan, but just by Sean McVay trying to survive week one and get a win. He's going to lean on a little bit, maybe more what he feels comfortable with, and that's Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and the trust that he has in Jared Goff. So I'd love to see a little bit more balanced of attack, maybe 25 carries total plus would be where I'd like to see. But I feel like a broken record for all the people that listened to me last year. That's what I said every game, right? Run the damn ball. So I think that's where it's going to come down to. Well, who's going to stay within their game plan and adjust better? I do have the Rams winning this one. They've got to open up the home opener with a win. It's very sad. It's like, now that you gave me goosebumps earlier, talk about how close we are, one night sleep away from football. But now here we are going, man, we are really close to this game, and it's going to be an empty stadium. That hurts my feelings. Like, I almost take it personal, but the Rams have to do their job to plant their flag and not let the Dallas Cowboys own that first victory in SoFi. So they're going to have to man up and get this win. I give it to them. I have a late Jalen Ramsey interception that seals the deal. I got the Rams winning. Let's say I'll go 38-30. I don't even know how you get there, but that's my rough win. I think it's going to be, they're coming down to either tie or they're going to be coming down to tie, and Jalen Ramsey's going to get a pick to seal the game, and the Rams end with Jared Goff in victory formation and handshakes across to the former teammates and coaches on the other side.
I definitely like your prediction just a little bit more than mine. and like you mentioned, I mean, these teams have seen each other now a couple of times, dating back to that 2018 playoff game, the 2017 game where, you know, the Rams, I feel like that was the game that kind of put the Rams and Sean McVay on the map, and when they went to 100%. Dallas in 2017, and they hit Todd Gurley up that seam for that long touchdown with Josh Reynolds peeling back on the block. It was like a 50-yard passing play, and the Rams eventually won that game, and it was a close one. But, you know, they played in 2017. That was a close game, and the Rams won. They played in 2018 in the playoffs, and the Rams won again. And then they played again, like you mentioned, last year in 2019 in the regular season, and towards the end of the regular season, and the Cowboys just obliterated the Rams. But like you mentioned, the key is definitely going to be stopping the run. First and foremost, no questions asked. You know that's what the Cowboys want to do. You know that's what they're great at. This is a team who's just got all the personnel when it comes to their offensive line and their running back. And running backs, I should say, just to produce running the ball and, you know, kind of build a passing offense off of what they're able to do in that ground game. And, you know, with the Rams, seen it firsthand last year, like you mentioned, with Zeke going over 100 yards rushing and his backup, Tony Pollard, and former, you know, teammate of Daryl Henderson, he went for 130 plus yards against the Rams last year on only 10 carries. And so, you know, they're just going to have to be more stout against the run this time around. There's no doubt in my mind that, you know, they're going to have to simply bring guys down into the box, or, you know, just kind of make it a larger numbers game, because they don't really have the personnel in terms of the inside linebacker position to, you know, take on blocks from big offensive linemen and that are proven in the running game. And so that's definitely one of the keys to victory, or, you know, potential loss in my eyes, for sure. That I'll definitely be keeping my eyes on for sure all game, because, and like you mentioned, you know, the Rams' secondary is probably their strength. And so if there's an area where you can kind of, you know, scheme more help to, it's going to be in the running game, because you trust guys like Jalen Ramsey on the back end and, you know, Troy Hill and Darius Williams even to, you know, stick with their guys and play one-on-one. And unfortunately, they're going to have to cover them one-on-one very often because of, you know, the lack of running game personnel that the Rams have in terms of stopping the run.
Couple of thoughts on it too. I think big early on in the season, two big categories you want to keep your eye on is third down conversions and turnovers. Mm-hmm. If the Rams can convert some third downs and win in that category, and the Rams can win in the turnover category, you're setting yourself up to be in a position to win the game, right? It's not always going to go your way. It's a game of inches, but if you're winning that battle, you're stopping the run, taking care of the football and moving the chain on third down, that's going to go a long way, especially early on in the season when everyone's just feeling out some stuff. So those are the categories that I'm keeping my eye on as this game is winding down.
Definitely, you know, anytime you can win those two battles and those two numbers, you're definitely placing yourself in a good spot to come out of the game victorious. And, you know, it's going to be very, very fun to watch what happens in this game. I'm super excited, man. I can't explain to you just the jitters I'm getting when I think about, you know, the cameras rolling around in SoFi Stadium, just capturing it all in its essence and in its glory. And so, you know, regardless of what the score ends up being, you know, it's going to be a fantastic just time to have football back with everything that's happened in the world lately, and with the Rams just kind of opening, having this grand opening and everything. And like you mentioned, you know, there's no better way to start out the season than a victory on Sunday Night Football in front of all of the world. You know, you're the only team on television against, you know, what a lot of people like to call America's team in the Dallas Cowboys. And so that would be a great start to the season for the Rams and head coach Sean McVay entering his fourth NFL season. Make sure to check back in with us on Thursday to hear our first crossover episode of the 2020 NFL season. I had Locked On Cowboys host Landon McCool on to discuss how the teams match up and what might happen on Sunday Night Football. Just a reminder, come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QB's MVP. You can find Brad at LA_RamblingBear, and you can find the page Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.